Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And if you've ever been stuck somewhere with your cell phone, bored out of your mind, wishing you could listen to us, then all you have to do is go to 712-832-2636. And right away, you'll be listening to a show, one of our pet shows on All Paws Pet Talk. Probably me with Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk. I've been doing this for about a decade, so we got a lot of shows, a lot of amazing experts, all archived and ready to go. Some of my favorite shows get picked for the reels that play on the live stream. So it's really cool. And I'll tell you more about that later. I will. But if you want to check it out on your computer, you can just go to, just type in TuneIn Radio. That's the app. So go to tuneinradio.com or just check out WPET. That's us, WPET Talk Radio. That's us, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, Smart Animal Talk. That's where you'll find us for the live stream, WPET Talk Radio. Okay, so today I have discovered something very interesting and I'm going to share it with you. And that is, you know how sometimes people are really proud of their children or their pets, and they have this jewelry that sort of has a stick figure girl if they had a daughter, or a stick figure boy, and they look a little creepy. It doesn't look like anybody's daughter or son. Well, now, finally, there's some jewelry where you can actually take that gorgeous little face of your dog or your cat or your baby or your grandbaby or your grand fur baby and wear it with you everywhere you go. So I want to welcome to the show Alan from doosjewelry.com. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
It's nice to have you. So what made you think of this?
Well, the story, it's a good story. It was this last Christmas, my girlfriend wanted to make my sister some jewelry. She's very artsy and crafty, and so what she did was she found photos from their Instagram of their dogs and cats, and she made them, and they came out great. And I was like, oh, this is nice. And when she handed them to my sisters, they both had the same exact reaction once they opened the present. And the reaction, it went a little something like this. It was like, oh, my God! You know, like super high-pitched, super pumped and excited. And so, like, that was the clue. I was like, They really genuinely love this. And then when my sister said, where'd you buy this from? I was like, oh, that's it. Like, I think we could do this. I think people would buy this. And that's how it started. So we launched the website about just 2 months ago. And since then, you know, sales have been growing steadily. So that's how it started.
Oh, that, you know what, the baby boomer market, the baby boomer new grandparent market is just yours to discover. But in the pet world, there are a lot of people who don't have kids or their kids are grown and their pets are their kids, you know? And wearing something like this, you're walking along. If someone sees it and they're into Yorkshire Terriers or Jack Russells or cats or dogs or whatever, and they're looking for a way to connect with you, they're going to talk about it. They're going to say, oh, man, that's a lovely, but what kind of dog is that? What's his name? You know, that kind of thing. It's such a good gift.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It makes a great gift. And that's the thing that we've noticed is, like, once people have it in their hands and they look at it and they see their little pet, their, you know, their fur baby, that, like, they get so excited, and the sentiment is just, like, so great and so strong that the people are really connecting with it, and they really do love it. And I have my dog on a keychain, and I take it with me wherever I go. And I'm not kidding you. Like, every time I look down, I'm like, ah, oh, Yogi. You know, I love him. You know,
yes, and Yogi. That's a good great name. Thing. What kind of dog is Yogi?
He's a corgi. He's a long-haired corgi, so he's really fuzzy, really furry. He's a beautiful dog, so he's one of our models. Our two others are Max and Lola. That's my girlfriend's dogs. They're great to work with.
Yeah, better than, I guess, the easier to work with than babies. Although when I've worked with animals in studio, they always end up booking me way too much time. You know, they'll book for 5 hours and we're done in 15 minutes. And then they just start taking all kinds of extra shots. Because if you know what you're doing with the animals, you can get some pictures pretty easily. But the other thing about that is when you try to take your animal somewhere else with someone it's not comfortable with to stage photos, you're not going to get that perfect picture that you have on your video already, in your camera already, your favorite picture ever of Gus the dog. Yeah. That's the one you get to use, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why people like it so much, is it can be any picture they have, whether it's something that's on your iPhone, your favorite picture that you ever took on your phone, or maybe some people have sent some professional pictures to us. I'm like, wow, that's amazing too. So yeah, you get to pick your favorite photo and you send it to us through our website. It's a really easy process, and we make necklaces, bracelets, and keychains right now, and different variations of each. So yeah, you can send whatever picture you want, and yeah, it comes out beautiful.
Okay, so the sad side of this is the memorial side, but I really see that as a big deal too. You know, when I have that urn that I get when I've cremated a pet that I've had for over a decade, maybe 15, 17 years, I've had this cat or dog, and I'm so attached to it, and it finally passes away, and the vet sends it away, and a month later, I get this call to come pick up this thing that looks like a ceramic vase. It doesn't have the dog's name on it. If I could just hang a little charm with his picture on the top, I think that would be beautiful. So I get how this could really, really help people.
Yeah, no, that is a big part of it. A lot of people send in photos of their pets that have passed, and I think it is, like you're saying, a beautiful way to memorialize them and see them and always remember them, especially like in a great picture where you can see their energy and their spirits really out there, and you can capture that in a photo. So we didn't even really think about that actually when we started it going into it, but then as we continued, we realized that was such an important thing to people, and we're happy that we're able to do that. I think it is really nice.
Well, you know what? It's all math. It's that people live a long time. Dogs live 10 to 15 years. So if you have a dog, if you never go dogless, which is rare, but if you never go dogless, you always have a dog, you always have a cat your whole life long, you're still going to have to deal with losing quite a few. Right?
Yeah.
They're just not going to live as long as you. It's not like a parrot or a monkey or an alligator, which we're going to talk about later in the show. Little sneak preview there for my listeners. It's coming. No, it's an animal that you are going to have to deal with losing. And it is nice to have a memory, a beautiful memory that, you know, maybe you don't wear it every day, but it's sure nice to have. And okay, so I want to tell them how to reach you. We only have a couple minutes left. Doosjewelry.com, www.doosjewelry.com. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we go, Alan?
My last thing, if anyone is going to be at the Nassau Coliseum Pet Expo on May 30th, we'll be there with a table, and you can come meet us. We're actually going to set up a booth, and we'll take professional photos for you. That's just like a fun experiment. So come on down, hang out, and if not, reach out to us at doosjewelry.com.
Oh, that'll be fun. You get a professional photo. Nice one. Yeah. And your dog gets a day out, and you get a day out. And I bet there'll be other exhibitors giving away free stuff. It's like Halloween for the pet lover. Come with a big bag. You're going to get stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining me today, Alan.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody, check it out at doosjewelry.com, doosjewelry.com. And stay tuned. Up next, I think we're going to go a little ape. That's right. The show is just, it's going wild on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
And anytime you're near, I love you.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all natural non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
Scratch it.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and the puns are just flying. I want to go bananas. I want to monkey around. Oh my goodness, this is going to be hard on me to keep a lid on it. We are talking on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and with me coming up is Carrie from JungleFriends.com. JungleFriends.com, not to be confused with Mowgli and the gang, maybe Mowgli inspired. We'll find out in a minute. Okay, so welcome to the show, Carrie.
Thank you so much, and I did want to say it's JungleFriends.org, O-R-G.
O-R-G, thank you very much. JungleFriends.org, everybody.
Perfect.
Okay, and where are you located?
We're in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay. And it's so exciting to hear that you rescued 20 monkeys recently. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, well, that since the 20 monkey rescue, we've since had another 11 and then another 33. So we've just been growing. And they were all out of laboratory research. So we're very excited about that. The 33 that just got here are settling in really great. They're exploring the great outdoors and, you know, figuring out what rain is and wind and things like that.
Okay, so they were totally confined.
Yeah.
It's just hard to imagine. So this is still going on large scale. Monkeys are being put through, I guess, what's sort of like solitary confinement, like prison. Is that what it's like for them?
Well, there's over 100,000 monkeys in laboratory research right now. And they're
in the world or in the United States?
In the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're breeding them, obviously. There's a breeding program.
Lots of breeding facilities that breed to sell just to labs. And a lot of the monkeys that we have from labs were species isolated, living completely alone without being able to feel the touch of another monkey or interact or anything. But the ones that just arrived were in pairs or small family groups, most of them, but we do have some singles, too, that we're hoping to make a love connection here at Jungle Friends. So.
Oh, my gosh. Your dating service, too, for the monkeys.
Yes, of
now,
course.
Anybody who's driven through one of those parks where you get to see monkeys on your car probably, like me, thinks that must not be too difficult because it seems like that's their favorite trick to,
yes.
Oh, look, there's a car full of children. Let's show them how we make monkey babies. Is it tricky?
Well, actually, we vasectomize all the males because we don't want to have more babies. I have such a huge waiting list for monkeys getting out of research or ex-pets. People think that they make great pets. Of course, they don't. So they have got a waiting list. So we don't encourage breeding, but we do want them to have that enrichment. So we vasectomize them rather than castrate.
So you encourage safe sex. That's kind of
exactly.
That is funny. Okay, so I don't want to go down that road. Let's talk about some other things.
Okay.
I was talking to my listeners early in the year, a couple different times it came up. Just the other day, Johnny Depp got into trouble with the Minister of Agriculture in Australia, who was calling his dogs little buggers on air and saying, send them home or we'll euthanize them, because he brought his dogs in and thought.
Right, I read that article. Yeah,
he thought he could bypass the quarantine regulations. Well, there was something similar last year with Justin Bieber and a monkey. Were you, did you pay attention to that one?
I was very involved in that, and I can't say much more than that, other than the monkey did not get back into the country, which was very sad.
Did not get back into what country?
Into this country. The monkey had to stay in Germany.
Oh, so it stayed in Germany. That's
right.
What happened to the monkey.
And he came from here, but could not get him back. There was no paper trail, no paperwork, nothing that, you know, we could help to.
Oh, Justin. See, you know, these celebrities, they can do a lot of bad things and I'll forgive them, but when they start messing around with animals, it really bugs me. I just, I have no forgiveness. No forgiveness for the football player who wants to fight dogs or Michael Vick.
Horrible.
I have no forgiveness for these people.
Yeah.
Just can't get my head around it. I mean, if you know better and you have handlers and people, why are you buying a black market baby monkey? Come on. I know. Okay, so why do monkeys make terrible pets? They look cute. They dress up real nice. You see them all acting like miniature little babies, dancing, doing tricks, seemingly affectionate with their human owners. But it's always felt a little wrong to me, a little like you're pretending to be their mom. And I suspect when they get to be adults, it's a real problem. Why are monkeys bad?
Well, the first wrong that's done is these babies are stolen from their natural mothers, who happen to be monkeys, not humans. So the first thing that happens is they are stolen from their mothers at as early as only 3 days old. So there's the first wrong. Someone, you know, snatches them from their mother.
So no breast milk, no nurturing, no bonding, no instant beginning life lessons. So they get substituted, right? They immediately think that a human is their mom? Is that what happens?
Well, that would be even better if people did wear their monkeys and let them climb on them and live on their bodies like a mother monkey would. But humans are not able to deal with that, so they put them on a stuffed animal or on a blanket, and there they just sit and rock and grasp and digit suck because they don't have breast milk. They aren't moving, so not only psychologically are they in trouble, their physiology does not grow the way it should. Their muscles don't grow properly. They're atrophied, and there's all kinds of problems that come with just that. Then they're raised by humans, and certainly they're cute. Baby tigers are cute. Baby humans are cute. Some of them grow up to be axe murderers. But monkeys they are wild animals. Dogs and cats, there were no dogs and cats, you know, a million years ago. These were something that humans created by breeding wolves with whatever they did, wolves and foxes. So they made dogs and cats. Monkeys are still monkeys are still monkeys. Yeah, they are still the wild animals. It took 10,000 years, was it? I think something crazy like that to make a dog out of a wolf. So,
well, when we talk about monkeys, and sometimes you read in the news, and it's always really bad. You know, like it's not a little nip to the neck or a little nip to the ankle or a little situation. It's, you know, lady loses her entire face, has to have face transplant because her pet monkey that she raised from a baby just one day turned on her. Now, I have trouble with that because the turned on her one day thing just doesn't sit right with me when it comes to animal behavior. Normally, they're unhappy for quite a while and they're acting out in little ways and it escalates and escalates and escalates till when their needs really aren't being met, they have no choice. I don't know if monkeys just snap, if it's common.
They don't. Yeah, they are wild, so they will automatically go after you, and they won't stop. They're relentless. Whoa. The woman who lost her face, it was actually a chimp, and chimps can do a lot of damage very quickly. And the whole story, I won't go into the whole story with that chimp. It wasn't the human that raised her. It was a friend of the human who she knew. But it's just like, do you have children?
Yeah, it's not quite the same still.
If you've got upset at a child or a dog, there are people, I used to work with abused and neglected children, And they would just get so upset that they really harmed their child. Didn't mean to. They loved their child, but they almost killed their child, which is, you know, they need to go to jail. Child needs to be taken away. But monkeys don't have that stopping thing. I forget what it's called, that they can just turn off. When they get mad, they go after someone. Now, they're also very sorry that they have, you know, attacked you sometimes. Sometimes not so much, but they are wild animals, and when they're raised by humans, they have no fear of humans either. So they want their way, and they want everything kind of the way they want. Now they're also individual, so I have some really sweet monkeys who I could say probably would never attack me, but most of them will, and a lot of them
though, your favorite sweetest of all these monkeys you've worked with, all you can say is probably never would. That's not very strong.
That's
a maybe. That might attack me. So maybe. They're always wild. They stay wild.
Right.
They need a lot of things humans can't give. How long do they live?
Well, we had a capuchin monkey live to be about 52, so usually between 45 and 50 for the capuchins. We had a little tamarin live to be 28. Which was a long, long life for a cotton-top tamarin. Oh, and they're endangered, critically endangered, and today is Endangered Species Day.
I had a customer, doggy customer, had a big old dog and had grown-up grandchildren and was feeling empty nesting kind of syndrome and went down to Mexico on a holiday trip. And she came back empty, thank God. But she came back with all these pictures of her and a spider monkey on the beach. And she told me she was going to arrange to get one. And I talked her out of it. But what is the appeal there? Is that a situation that's happening? Is there a market for this? And why spider monkeys and why Mexico? Like she's not the only one I've heard of either.
Right. Well, there's a huge market for pet monkeys, and it seems to be getting worse because I get a lot more calls for pet monkeys needing homes than I did 20 years ago. So it is getting worse, and spider monkeys are very appealing because as babies, they just want to hug you and hold you. And monkeys cling. I call them little Klingons. They cling to you because that's how they're born. They're meant to cling, automatically clinging on their mom so that they don't fall out of the tops of the trees, you know. So they think, oh, this baby loves me. And people want to be loved, and this, especially an empty nester. You know, they're told by the breeders, these monkeys will be babies all their lives, so you'll always have a baby. You'll always be bottle feeding, diaper changing, dressing up this little baby monkey. And they sell them on that idea. And they are the most adorable, the sweetest little things you've ever laid your eyes on or ever held. But then they grow up, and they have to have peer play. They need to be, first of all, with their family, their mothers and fathers, but especially their mothers, and then friends, and they need to make relationships, just like people. They're primate. We're primates, too, and they want to have
Do they leave them intact? Like, are these monkeys sexually whole and wanting mates? Is that going on, too? Because I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, they want to have a family. And we have monkeys that are monogamous. So some of the different species of monkeys mate for life, and they have really strong bonds. And, you know, and you're not giving them that. These pet people that buy them as pets, or if they're in a lab species isolated, they don't have any kind of socialization. They don't have any monkey friends. They don't get to do monkey things. You know, they just really live a very sad life.
There's a show on TV, The Big Bang, and one of the characters works in a lab, and sometimes she says very sarcastic things about monkeys that are a little bit negative, but they kind of throw light on the whole issue. And one of her comments recently was, you know, meant to be funny, and she said, you can introduce monkeys to harmful substances, you can even get them addicted, but throw a little feces back at them and you're considered unprofessional. And I thought that was an interesting line from Big Bang Theory. But how big a problem is nicotine addiction for you? Is it?
I have never, I don't think that they do nicotine addiction in the monkeys, or I've never heard of it. I know that they try to do it in dogs, but of course dogs they aren't addicted to nicotine, so why they're continuing that, I don't know. We do have a group of squirrel monkeys that were in cocaine studies in the 80s, like they couldn't get any volunteers in the 80s for cocaine studies.
But, seriously.
Oh, hello.
No, but they have to be, untainted to start with. That would be the hard part, to find a control group that had never done it and wants to do it. There's nobody on the planet. It's, you're either done on it or you've tried it. That's funny, though, the monkeys. Yeah, so I bet they had some pretty crazy monkeys.
It was horrible. I actually had a woman call me who said, I understand that you have the monkeys from, and I can't say which lab, and I worked with them, and I stopped my PhD program because they were doing fun things, lever pulling and doing fun little things at the lab, until they started the cocaine studies. And she said it was so horrific and so horrible, she stopped her PhD program, quit school, because she could not tolerate it. So I said, yes, they're here. Come on out and see them. She came out.
Did they remember her, do you think?
I don't know, because all she could do was just sit and sob. She was so happy to see them here with friends and playing in the trees and doing monkey things. She was just so excited to see that they were here. So,
how can people make a difference? If someone's listening now, what can they do? Like, can they check you out at junglefriends.org? What can they do to help you or to learn more?
I have a lot of requests right now because we have 57 squirrel monkeys getting out of laboratory research the end of next month. So we are frantically building. So if anybody wants to come and help us, come on over and help us build their habitats and plant and landscape and do all of that. If you can't come, send money or sponsor one of the monkeys. We have a wonderful sponsorship program on our website, which is junglefriends.org, and you can sponsor monkeys there. You can make donations there. You can find out about volunteering or doing internships here, and come on out. We'll make you one of us and put you to work.
So when a monkey first comes to you, what do you do first? Do you have to isolate it to make sure it's not sick if it came alone? Or like, how does it work? The monkey comes, it's all stressed out, I'm sure, hiding, probably not eating, probably not drinking right.
Well, and it depends on where the monkeys come from. These 57 squirrel monkeys that are coming from the lab at the end of the month are actually coming with the researcher who is planning to stay here for a month and settle them in.
Does that make a difference to them?
Yes, because they know her. They've known her all their lives.
Wow.
And she cares deeply about them, made sure that they got sanctuary retirement, came out to the sanctuary to see how we do things, how we run things, asked a lot of the right questions, and she wants her monkeys to come here and retire here. They weren't doing any invasive research. It was mostly cognitive and behavioral stuff. So, and they're in groups mostly. So they will settle in very well. Now, the monkeys that we have that were species isolated, lived in a lab for 20 years, never having the touch of another monkey or a human or anybody or anything, they come in and they are very upset and very nervous because they came out of a lab. Yeah, we don't worry about them having anything because the labs do so many tests. We don't, expect them to.
They're
do a quarantine.
They're just overstimulated by sound, light, everything, I guess.
Right. So we'll start them out, and it depends on the monkey. A lot of times we'll start them in a smaller space instead of, we have giant habitats that they eventually get moved in. So we'll start them in a smaller space and then let them choose to go out a little bit more and a little bit more. Then we'll put them around other monkeys of their same species and see kind of who they gravitate to. And then we start an introduction process and try to get everybody socialized with another monkey, at least one.
But they're all different kinds and different sizes, right?
Right.
So they're not all together. Are they?
Oh, no, no, no. We have...
Oh, I see. You mean same size, same species.
Right. And then we find out, too, about this particular monkey. Does this individual, does he prefer men or women? Does he prefer male or female monkeys? Does he prefer to be associated with humans? Does he avoid humans? What are his favorite foods? what, you know, and just get as much information as we can and have them send their things that they know, their own food bowl, their
is bananas toy. Really the food of choice? Are bananas the food of choice for monkeys?
They love bananas and they love grapes. So seem to be two yes, favorites, but they
bananas.
Like all kinds of fruit. Watermelon.
Well, we've run out of time today, Carrie. It's been so nice hearing from you. I live very far away from you in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. But once a year, I usually go see my mother over in Florida. And I hope someday I'll get to see Jungle Friends because it really sounds like a fantastic place.
You are welcome anytime.
Okay, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that
you know
I really do,
I really do.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we're going somewhere we've never gone before on this show. We are going to Gatorland, and taking us there is no other than the Dean of Gator Wrestling. Yeah, I'm not making that up. Welcome to the show, Tim Williams. Welcome. Okay, well, while we work to get Tim, I will tell you a little bit about the news. I know in our first segment today, we were talking with Alan, and he mentioned how he had his light bulb moment about his new product when he first took the jewelry out at Christmas, and all the ladies were going, oh, and talking in that baby talk voice. Well, I got a tip for you, gentlemen. What gets the ladies who talk in the baby talk voices to swoon and flirt and fall for the men is animal rescue. It really is. There was this pig, this 200-pound pig called Pourquoi, which means why, which is a very good name for a pig. Why? Why do you have a 200-pound pig? Would be probably the most commonly asked question. Anyway, so Pourquoi was stranded in a flooded barn in Nova Scotia, and I watched hours of footage. Well, okay, not hours, minutes. Over 15 minutes. Couldn't take my eyes off it. And every man involved in the rescue became better looking as the rescue continued. Yes, yes, yes. They'd all get lucky with that story at the bar. So Pourquoi is safe, the 200-pound pig, for anyone who was keeping track of that. earlier in the week. And well done, Nova Scotia Fire Department. Not like you needed extra points. You're already firemen. But still, firemen saving animals? That's like the ultimate fantasy. Okay, so I'm really hoping our guest will join us soon. And yeah, because it'll be a lot of talking from me. I'm prepared, but I can do it. I can definitely do it if I have to. Can you please talk, Tim, if you're there? I've tried to introduce you. Hello, Tim.
Hey, I'm sorry about that. Modern technology, you have to appreciate it.
Well, I was just about to go with, there was this contest, worst pickup line ever on a first date, worst line ever. This guy says to this girl, "All my ferrets are house trained." And she says, "All of them?" So, now, I bet you can relate to that. I bet you got a house full of strange critters at your place.
Periodically, yeah. We travel all over the country from Gatorland, and you never know what's going to be wandering down the halls from time to time.
But, well, hey, I told my audience that I was going to be talking with Tim Williams, the Dean of Gator Wrestling, and I said, you know, there's no way I could make that up. What? The Dean of Gator Wrestling? What's that about?
I was trying to explain when the call dropped. That was bestowed on me several years ago. I started working with alligators 40 years ago, and they call me the Dean of Gator Wrestling now, which means I can get down on a gator. I just can't get back up without help. So that's what happens as old age sets in. But they're a marvelous animal, and they're probably, to me, they're the most wonderful animals ever walked. I just dearly love them. I really do.
You know, if we were standing in the same room right now, and I had just heard you say that to me, where you say, "I've worked with gators for 40 years, I know, even if I tried not to, I would end up looking at your hands to see if you've got all your fingers. Do you have all your fingers?
I still have all mine.
You do.
I still do. Yeah.
No, we have. I have dogs, all... right? I work with dogs, cats, other animals too, but mostly dogs, day in, day out. And I've been bit. I have. I have the marks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know if I want to be bit by an alligator.
Well, I've had a few of those, but yeah, and I've had the bite that hurt worse than anything I've ever had was a cat. I had a cat bite me one time, and I thought, my gosh, that's the most painful thing that ever happened. But
they have, because they have, it gets infected.
Yeah, it was just a very painful bite. It took forever to get over. But, you know, you work with animals, and you take it and understand that, you know, race car drivers have wrecks, and carpenters smack their fingers, and if you're going to work with animals, you have to accept that there's a risk. No matter what the animal is, there's going to be a risk. You get kicked, you get bit, you get stomped on, and that comes with the territory. And it's part of it.
Okay. But the gator thing, right? I've seen it on TV, never seen it in true life. Is there some kind of trick, like when the magician makes the bunny, the rabbit, seem like it's hypnotized, but really he just touched it in a certain spot that makes it pass out for a minute? You know, is there some kind of alligator trick?
Well, are you talking about putting one to sleep? If that's what you're referring to, it's a catatonic trance, and they just kind of pass out. Doesn't harm the animal. And one of the things we try to do at Gatorland is use our gator handling, would be a better name than gator wrestling. And we use that to try to help people understand these animals better, because they are just a fascinating animal. And they've made a great comeback, and they're all in our backyards and swimming pools and drainage ditches and crossing the highway. As a matter of fact, we were just out in San Francisco just the other 2 weeks ago with some animals doing a program. So we get out to California. I love it out there.
2 years ago, I took my kids to Disney World in Orlando. And, you know, we're from the north. We're not used to this kind of critter. And we look down in the little mock pretend little lagoon, you know, the one where the pirates have their battle and all that. And there's an alligator swimming around in there. How safe is it to coexist with them?
It's very safe. I live on a lake that has a lot of alligators in it. It's a rather small lake. And I'm cautious and I watch out for them. But they're part of our nature here in Florida and all the way up into the Carolinas and the Texas. And you just have to learn how to live with these things and coexist and understand them. That's one of the things we try to get folks to do at Gatorland is learn more about them. I don't have moose and elk walking around here in Florida, and I have been in places where there are moose and elk, and they scare the dickens out of me because that's a big animal, and I understand they can kind of kick your rear end if you're not careful. And the folks that live around them know how to do it.
I guess it's just what you're familiar with. And
correct,
there seems to be, for me anyway, something about mammals where I have some kind of understanding, some kind of connection, whether it's a prey animal or a pack animal, either way. I don't know. Do you have that connection with alligators when you look an alligator in the eye?
I believe so. And it comes from many years' experience. And part of that is, understanding the animal and having worked with them for a long time, you kind of get a feel for them. If you approach a dog immediately, if you're watching that animal and what it's doing, if it's giving off a sign or a signal that makes you uncomfortable, you pick up on that. You do that with alligators. But most of the time, they just don't want to be bothered. And that's the biggest problem we have with their wild populations is people think it's kind of neat to go outside and throw marshmallows and bread and feed them. And like with any wild animal, that just alters their natural behavior. And instead of running away, they come running up looking for something to eat, and that's when we end up having big problems with them.
How many alligators have you got at Gatorland?
This year we've got about 1,800 and about 200 crocodiles. We have 7 species of crocodilian represented. And we have several different species of crocodiles, some caiman, as well as the American alligator. And we have something that's really neat. We have some 4 of only 12 leucistic alligators. They're white with blue eyes, not like the albinos with the pink eyes. And we have 4 of those. They came to us from the Audubon Zoo in New Orleans, and they're big guys, and they're just, for me, having worked with them all my life, it was a treat when we got these a few years ago to be able to see these animals and experience them, because it's just a kind of a freak of nature, and the odds of them surviving in the wild is probably 0. They were actually caught in the wild down in New Orleans, so it's a marvelous treat to work with those. But we also have something.
So, are you feeding them things, or you just like stock the ponds with fish? Like, how does that work?
Well, we feed red meat and chicken and some fish.
Red meat and chicken. That's what they eat.
Yeah, they primarily, they're carnivores. And we also have a lot of tilapia in our ponds and lagoons where they live. So they get some of those every now and then. And then we have a very large bird rookery that occurs every year. And there are thousands of egrets and ibis and wood storks and herons that nest and raise their families right above the alligators because they get protection from predators. And in turn, every now and then, a chick will fall into the water, and the alligators get a little snack or a little payment for, being a home security system for them. But, and that happens out in the wild. That's a natural occurrence. These are wild birds that come and go as they wish.
But the alligators can't. The alligators are confined.
Yeah, they're confined. We can't let our animals loose because they've been born, almost all of them. We have a couple that are wild animals that were captured in a park and brought to Gatorland, but most of them, almost all of them, were captive born and raised. And having said that, they're used to us feeding them, so if we took them out and turned them loose in the wild, they would be a very dangerous animal. So we can't do that.
Do people eat them? I mean, I think they do, right? Don't people eat gator?
Yeah, you can still buy gator meat and gator hide products from licensed, authorized dealers. A lot of the alligator meat that's being sold today comes from nuisance gators that have been fed and become a nuisance, and then the states elect to go out and remove those animals. And the trappers, if you take it from one place and move it somewhere else, it's just going to be a nuisance in a new place. So
that makes sense. Well, what's the meat like? Have you ever tried it?
Yeah, I have. It's very good. It's reptile meat's very good. It's very high in unsaturated fats and low in saturated fats, and it's quite tasty. And in some cultures, snake and lizard and caiman and alligator type meats are a staple for some of these cultures. And back in the day, that's what the Native Americans down here in the South were feeding on. You know, get them an alligator and stew him up, and then they had some very fine shoes afterward.
How much does it cost, and how long does it take to go through Gatorland as a tourist?
Well, the prices will vary. The main thing is, if you get to the Orlando area, look for coupons and discounts, because we're pretty inexpensive. Normally, it's around $25 per person, but there's always discounts. A family of four can get in for less than one admission to any of the big parks. Our parking is free. And I was told that a good point to bring out is that there's no waiting at the ladies' room. I think that must be a problem in the big park. So, and we're
well,
good.
Well, you know what? I took my kids 2 years ago, and we went into the washroom, all of us together, because even though I have a son and a daughter, I didn't want him on his own. And so,
right.
But for one day, I had a friend with me, and my friend would take my son, and I would take my daughter. And but in the ladies' washroom, you could hear in like a million different languages, it seemed. Every language I could recognize was being spoken, and the same conversation was being had. The moms were tired, and they were hot, and the lineups were so, so, so exhausting.
Yeah.
And the kids were just melting down, having tantrums. They just wanted to go back to the hotel pool. The kids were, every kid there was complaining, and the moms were saying the same thing in all different languages. I paid a lot of money to bring you here. Now you're going to put a smile on your face. And my daughter and I, we just started laughing at this whole thing because it was hot. There was no shade. Huge lineups for everything, you know. And even if you do what you're supposed to do, where you put your name in and you get the number, and it's just you spend your whole vacation in line. So it would be so nice to have an alternative to that, like Gatorland.
It is. We are, and it's very funny that you say that. I've heard several people at our park over the years say things like, you know, I spent $100 a piece to go stand in a line for 45 minutes, and that just shakes them up. I tell you one of the nicest comments I've ever heard about Gatorland. It really meant a lot. Several years ago, a couple was walking through the park, and this gentleman came up and saw me, and of course I'm wearing a Gatorland shirt. He goes, I want to tell you something about this park. And I thought he was upset. And we really strive to give everybody a great time. And I said, yes, sir, what's that? He said, we've been to all the big parks, and we enjoyed them. They were great. He said, but we like this the best. And I said, you did? And he goes, yeah. He said, every place we've been, everything ran on electrical impulse, and everything in here runs on a heartbeat. And my wife and I appreciate that. And I thought that was the kindest, nicest thing you could say about an animal park anywhere. When folks go out and visit animal parks, they need to understand that it's running on a heartbeat. And there's a lot of people that spend a lot of time and a lot of love and a lot of hard work taking care of these animals that are in our charge. And, you know, that's what we strive to do, is share this passion that we have. And I think we do a good job of it. I really do.
Do you have any other animals besides gators?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We've got two panthers. They're part half Florida panther and half Texas cougar that were pets of someone who now they have a very large exhibit Gatorland. We have birds.
Well,
we
can I just stop you there? Did they do that themselves? Make a crossbreed? Did the panther find the cougar and fall in love and make a baby, or did they breed these in a lab? Like, how did that happen?
I think they were bred. They were bred intentionally, crossbred intentionally.
Really?
And yes, and Florida has done that. Our Florida panther population went way down. I mean, they were on the verge of extinction, and they started introducing some Texas cougar to get the gene pool a little more diversified, because we were running out of the gene pool was becoming, you know.
Can I ask you if it increased the size? Because up here, our cougars are huge compared to your panthers. And
yes,
sometimes polar bears have been lately, in the last 10 years, mating with black bears, and the offspring is somewhere between the two in size. So I'm wondering, is it small or medium?
It's larger than your standard Florida panther. Florida panthers, you know, we're so hot down here. Our deer and panthers and even the squirrels running around the parks
are
nowhere near as big. Yeah, they don't get the size that you see in the northern states and up in the mountains and those areas where it gets cold, where they have to put on a lot more body mass in order to sustain themselves. And so our animals are nowhere near the size that you see. Except our gators. We get some pretty good size alligators, but
and you know what? I mean, most of us are quite afraid, right? I'm afraid. You hear these stories of the gardener. I met a gardener who has marks all over her arm and is missing part of her hand because she was working a golf course customer and got too close to the pond and got grabbed. I mean, and I hear stories because of the pet shows I do about Cocker Spaniel, little to medium-sized dog, goes for a swim in the pond, went to fetch a stick, and never came back. Is this myth or is it true?
It's true. As a matter of fact, the gentleman that lives across the lake from me, when we had several years ago, we had several hurricanes go through at one time. And mainly where I'm living in Central Park, we got a lot of rain. And the water level came up on the lake, and he was out in his yard cleaning up some tree debris and had his golden retriever out in the water. You know, it was the water in the by the house. I mean, it wasn't like he was out in the lake. And this very large gator snuck up right next to where my friend was and grabbed his dog. And he had a pitchfork, and he jabbed the gator with a pitchfork, and it just all it did was rush off into the lake and unfortunately drowned the dog and killed it. They're a sneaky animal. They rely on stealth, and they're an opportunistic feeder. Anything that they think they can catch without wasting a lot of energy and effort, they're going to go after it.
But I was having a hard enough time when you were talking about the baby birds falling out of the tree. I was trying to be, you know, on the gator side on that one. But now, if it's between a golden and a gator, you've lost me, Tim. I think you get that gator. I could never do what you do.
It was a tough thing because, you know, I love the alligators, but I also happen to love that dog very much. And we helped the trapper hunt him down, and the trapper got him. But it was just one of those very, very horrible occurrences, you know. But by the same token, I think, if we put everything into a perspective, as tragic as that was, we also see, you know, how many of our pets are run over because pet owners don't put their animals on leashes or fence them, and they get hit by cars. And,
yeah, oh, totally. There's so many things that happen.
It's such a horrible thing.
Toxins, getting into something they shouldn't, all that kind of stuff. Just not getting along with your neighbors to the point where something happens it shouldn't, just despite each other. And that I get that all the time, you know, stories of that when I'm on the radio. Sometimes, especially in a local AM market, the two neighbors will be on the line at the same time, and the engineer in the sound booth thinks this is funny, so he'll let them have their little feud about the dog that barks and the cat that poops in the sandbox and the fence, you know, and you just know something's going to happen, right? Somebody's going to leave a gate open, or something's just not good with the situation, you know, and you know the dog owner's going, get the cat, you know, like, yeah. Oh, so then the cat is going to trick the dog to get hit by a car or something like that. We actually were supposed to deal with today, but we've run out of time, so we'll have to deal with it next week. But I'll just tell you guys, there's somebody who called in because there's a little dog, little old dog that had a really sad, sad story. But now, as far as I can see, is working it. This little dog makes sure its owner gets up at 2 a.m. every night to lift it into the human bed. So we had a little talk with this guy. He doesn't want to call online. He doesn't want to call when we're live. And I tried to say, you know, exactly how he could train the dog not to do this. But then it became obvious that he actually enjoys this because since talking to him, he called back and he actually woke the dog up at 2 a.m. to do their usual when what I suggested worked. So don't call me about problems you enjoy. Call me about the dog problems and the cat problems you don't enjoy. Same guy said he's rescued a cat. The cat gets up on the table and high-fives him for food. What should he do? I said, whatever you do, don't feed him. He said, oh, I already did that. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, so we've run out of time. I'll talk more about that next time. And Tim Williams from Gatorland.com. What would you like to leave the people with? We just have a minute left, Tim.
I tell you, just take care of ourselves and take care of our animals. We're on this piece of dirt called Earth all together. We got to learn how. There's nowhere else to go. Let's all of us get together and make this thing work, because it's a beautiful place. And get outside and enjoy nature and learn and enjoy what's out there in your backyard. There's some beautiful things out there if you just walk out the door.
If I come to Florida and I visit your park, can I touch a gator?
Oh, yes. I'll let you sit on one and show you the finer points.
I'll wrestle a gator? Are you kidding me? Oh, I'm up for that. Oh, I would like to do that. Really?
You come, yes. Oh, yes, ma'am. You come down there, and I'll show you a time you'll walk away from going, I can't believe I did it. No one else will believe you either.
I bet you've done this with a few people. Anybody, any celebrities I'd know that you've put on a gator?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Let's see. Jack Hanna is a very dear friend. We've done a lot of work with Jack Hanna and Antonio Vargas and, oh, golly, now you
so
that.
So good company. Well, I would love to do
bunch.
That. Thank you so much for offering. Okay, everyone, until next time, this has been Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And you can go to Gatorland.com to find out more about Tim, or you can go to DeborahWolfOnline.com to find me. And my pregnant dog, who's like a walking school bus, is about to deliver any day now. Best guess is 8, 9, or 10 puppies. Everybody who meets her says so. Maybe you can tell what you think. Check out the pictures. Okay. And I'll be back next week. Until then, be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near.